And I'd like you to turn your Bibles to James chapter 1. Problem is, I see it now. Then when I start talking, I don't see it. I need a reminder that it's gone past here. So, in the last two messages that we considered... Am I on? Great. We considered... I entitled the messages, The Call to Worship. And what was really being highlighted is this, that worship is not merely singing songs to the Lord at the beginning of a service. Okay? Worship can include singing songs at any time, but if we don't understand that what God is calling us to is really saying yes to Him, a submission to Him, then we've missed the point behind worship. The call to worship is another manifestation of the gospel of God. Okay? One of the aspects of the gospel that is set before us is that the problem is not anything other than sin having come and broken people's lives, and God wants to save them. And one of the things that falls from that is that what hurts people is them going their own way, right? At the core of what Adam did was he held up his thought above what God had said. For whatever reason, I mean, let's not, it's easy to put Adam down as that idiot. But let's remember, we probably would have done the same thing in those situations, right? He was perfect, and he made that choice, right? But my point is, at the core of it was what I think is of more significance to me than what God has said, right? That was the core problem. So the call to worship, as I said, is a manifestation of God's salvation. Every place where what you think and what you say is ruling your life is a place where salvation, number one, is hindered, and number two, something else is operating, even if it hasn't hurt you yet. Right? So God's call to us to surrender to Him is really His salvation unfolding in our lives. And the call to worship is just that. If all worship is to you is a wonderful moving time in a setting where so many other people are moving. Let's not deny, when everybody else is involved with something, there can be a power to that that can move you. But if that's all worship is, an experience, then we are falling short of what God is making available to us. Really, the call to worship is a call to surrender. Surrender. And may each one of us be stirred with the delight over that idea. I don't mean the delight over, I want to be careful here. I don't want to trivialize that. I understand, at least for myself, that the places of surrender usually are not just automatic. You know, like, who in their right mind would say no to the Lord? You know what I mean? Like, we who have walked with the Lord for a while and we know something about Him, who in their right mind would ever say no to the Lord? And yet we do. And so what I'm thrilled about is this whole thought of being called to worship is God saying, I'm going to walk right next to you until you see this is a place that you want to give to me so that I can save you. I think that's fabulous. I think it's fabulous. What I hear in this is God saying, it's just an unfolding more of this wonderful salvation where God Himself has gotten involved with us. And we're just putting some flesh on the bones. So one of the things He's saying is, these are places that you need to say yes to me in. But He never takes a hammer and beats us over the head, right? So this is such an exciting thing to me, that He is going to win us to His side about those things. And we want to say yes to Him. I think everybody in this room, at least the people that I can see, don't know about the people that might be listening to this apart from it, but my assumption about you is that you want to say yes to the Lord. That, you know, from the get-go is there. And we just need to recognize something. God is willing to take that deeper than what we imagine. It's easy to say yes to the Lord for certain things, but there are certain things that we don't want Him touching yet. And may the Lord use the things that we've been considering about worship to stir you to the place where you say, I actually want to give that area to Him. Because it's safest in His hands. It's safest in His hands. I want to give the way I speak. I want to give the way I think about entertainment. I want to give the way I think about my time. Whatever it is, I want to give it to Him. Because It is safest there, and he will make it fruitful. God never asks me to surrender something without it being a means by which it can be made fruitful in our lives. So it's a good thing that he's working to win us over. But I'm actually going to go to a different place now. I'm going to go to James chapter 1. And before I read this passage, let's just quickly pray. Father, I ask again that you would take of the treasure that is ours in Jesus and give it to us, work it into us today by your Spirit. I ask for utterance in the opening of my mouth and at the same time set a guard over it. I ask for the utterance by your Spirit that the revelation and the sustenance and the flow of the salvation of God could flow into this place and into every life who's hearing it, starting with me. And I ask for a guard that anything that is not of you would be blown away and made of no effect, because we are interested in your salvation working out in the nitty-gritty in each one of our lives. So I just thank you, Father, for your love for us, for your deep, deep, abiding love for us. We just say yes. Even if there are deeper things that we need to say yes to, we start by saying, yes, Lord, we want it. Come and have your way. Come and have your way with me, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. James chapter 1, verse 2. I'm reading from the NASB, but I think all of the translations will say something similar. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. One of the things that we heard when Zach was working with us about, well, when all said and done, how salvation works out in us. You know, he titled that series, The Heart. But if you look a little bit beyond just the title, what he was really getting at is, how do things work out in this salvation? Why do certain things not happen? Why do certain things happen? Like, what is the nitty-gritty behind that? And one of the things that we saw was the necessity of our lives being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Right? We referred to passages in the Proverbs that say things like, as a man thinks, so he is. So for us to be manifesting salvation, things that we think have to change. That is a parallel to what Romans chapter 12 is telling us. Be transformed. Be transfigured, I heard recently someone teaching. It was Barry Bennett when he was talking about it. That word, be transformed, is the same word that was used to describe what happened to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, as they call it, where all of a sudden, what he really was became apparent to the three disciples that were with him. You know, he began to glow brighter than lightning, basically. That same word that is used as transfiguration there is transformed when it talks about our life being changed from natural, being empowered by the natural, to being fueled by the supernatural realities that belong to us in Jesus now. Well, that happens by our minds being renewed, right? Well, here is a small place where that training needs to happen. What is your response? What is your approach? What is your reaction? Reaction is probably the weakest of all the words I've used there. Because, you know, you can have a bad reaction, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you stay there. You know, something terrible happens, our initial reaction can be, ah! But we learn to do something with it. So I'm not too concerned about reaction. But what is your way concerning trial? Most people would describe trial as something I don't want. I'm with those people. Okay? No problem there. I'm not saying something other than that. But God tells us something here by which we can be reprogrammed. And it is necessary if we're going to successfully deal with trials. Because the reality is, trials are unavoidable. Right? Why are trials unavoidable? It's got nothing to do with God being too weak to keep us out of things. It's got everything to do with how God's salvation is unfolding and the things that pertain to how God does things. This world has been broken, and so things can happen that should not happen, that should never have been allowed to enter reality, those things have entered. Sin has come in. Right? So he himself said, in this world you will have trouble. Okay? So we know trouble is a part of our time in this world. What makes the difference, though, is how you react. Right? And Paul paints a very good example for us. I think in most things, Jesus would be the template that we go to, and he really is. But from my reading of the Gospels, you don't really see how Jesus dealt with trouble. You just see that he never was kept back by it, right? Paul illustrates for us how to deal with trouble, right? Because his life was filled with trouble, all from serving the Lord, right? In Paul's life, we have illustrations of trouble that comes from other people not liking God, trouble that comes from not yielding to God. We have illustration of all of it, and we also have illustration of how to deal with it. Right? Here in James, and we don't have time today because I am going to stop now, well, in a few minutes. Here in James, we are told, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Okay? He doesn't say, be happy. He says, consider it all joy. So, in other words, he's getting beyond the, what is your initial reaction to trouble? Ah! Fine, whatever, that might be fine. Now, that moving beyond that initial reaction, how do we deal with this? Consider it. Calculate it. It is not a write-off if your initial reaction to trouble is to scream. But what happens after that is essential. What will now rule you? Trouble, trial, or what God has said? And this makes the difference. Consider it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Even though trouble and trial may be the result of things that were not what God wanted on the earth, trouble and trial now become the means by which God can do something wonderful in your life. The God who, in the face of all of the work of the adversary, can turn that to our good. You know, the scriptures say that which the enemy intended for our harm, he's turned to my good, right? Referring back to the life of Joseph, for example, that which was intended for harm, God has turned to our good. This is who God is to us. Trouble and trial, which the devil may intend as a means to destroy you, God says, I got this. There is an opportunity here for you to get something precious. It's going to result in you being perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's a pretty big promise, right? It's not, you know, something good will come out of this. You'll be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's what's on that's what's on offer to us from the Lord. So what's given to us is consider. Rewire your internal programming in light of revelation so that trouble becomes a means for it, becomes a setting in which you rejoice. I'm going to end by simply pointing out, do you agree with me that this is telling us something to do? Right? Not something that is possible. It's telling us to do something in the face of trial. It is giving us an instruction, a recipe, a prescription. Right? Somebody said something, put it very interesting, and I don't remember who put it this way. Are you lacking joy? Well, rejoice. You don't rejoice because you have joy. You rejoice to get joy. Which is a different way of looking at it. We're used to rejoicing simply being the overflow of us being happy. But God says things like, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So if I'm lacking strength, what do I need? I need to rejoice. And And that is what he's saying to us here. Instead of just, whatever happens, happens, I'm just going to deal with it, you have to consider it differently. It's not that we can't get through trouble without doing this. I don't want to say that. We can press through things. We can endure things. But maybe there's something better than enduring my trial available to me. Okay? Isn't it wonderful that God does not give up on us when we don't say yes to him 1,800 times that he comes to ask us about something? He hasn't given up on us. But that isn't to imply to us there isn't something better available if I were to say yes. So, what is your response to challenge, to trial, to trouble? And that trial can be anything from something that honestly is trivial, it's just we're babies and we're not reacting properly to things, to something that is serious, something has come to take your life. What is your reaction? May it be to consider. Okay? There is an active, determined, purposeful examining of what's going on and turning it to, I will rejoice. And this is just a taste of what's involved in our minds being renewed so that our lives are transformed. Okay? We'll stop there. I didn't do too badly. And we'll just give thanks, and we'll, if you can quickly help us to part the chairs and bring out the tables, and we'll get involved with our time of fellowship. And again, I want to remind you, fellowship is not a small thing. Even if we're just talking about how things are going, that's fine. But you know what? I'm using that word deliberately here. I don't just mean a Christian thing. One of my prayers is that every one of us who's a part of this church grows in our perception that we are the instrument of God to change things in a circumstance. So your prayer, as has already been illustrated for us, could be the means by which somebody else's life is helped. I'm thankful that I don't have to have it all figured out. God provides me with people around me through whom salvation can come to me and help me when I can't receive it directly myself. So be that person. Be willing to be that person. I don't mean you go make yourself that thing, but embrace this thought. His Holy Spirit dwells in me. The Spirit of God is within me. Why could salvation not come into this circumstance through me? Sure, I'm willing. I'm willing. So as you're speaking, as things come up, you can say, you know, we could just pray about that. Why don't we just take a moment just to pray quickly about that? Father, we just thank you for the blessing that's on Norman's life, and may that completely overtake everything that he's involved with right now. Done. Right? Okay? So please don't treat this as just food. It is food, but it's more.